For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler. That's my name. Doing sports radio is my game. I can be Darren Waller. Bummer. Carlos Ortiz on the ones and twos. Marco Belletti. He's on the threes and fours. He's on the updates. We got Caller Fold coming up this hour. If you've ever listened to radio, you've heard a segment called Buy or Sell. I like the segment. I think we should do it more, honestly. Why?
I mean, sorry. You want me to do more work? I already do the work of four people, and I work 10 days a week.
That's true. Buy or Sell is such a classic radio segment for all the right reasons.
It really is.
It's quick pace. You get a lot of different things put into one segment. You know, it's not just me talking 15 minutes on Dak Prescott. You can go boom, boom, bingity, bing, bingity, boom.
Don't ever do that again.
Shibba-ba-ba-dee-ba-doo-ba-ba-do.
Right. Now, so you're doing the opposite of what I told you to do.
Sakamiya-yo-ya.
We're the only two people that know what that is.
It's nothing. It's a phrase that my kid said that he never says anymore, and now I always say it.
It really is a nightly thing.
Yeah. Good stuff. Busy day in the NBA. Hour number one covered the Miles Turner signing to the Bucks. And you know what's interesting with this? A lot of people are like, what the hell, Bucks? What? Why are we not talking about the Pacers? You get to a game of the NBA championship and you just let your dude walk? You don't want to pay the luxury tax? So they seemingly are taking a gap year. But there was a lot more than just things going on in the great city of Milwaukee today. Let me tell you a little bit about the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets acquiring Jonas Valanciunas for Dario Saric. Valanciunas is not what he was, but he will play more than Saric did. And I think he's, you know, a good spell for Nikola Jokic. Maybe they play him both at sometimes. Who knows? But he's a good spell there. I think the Nuggets have done a good job trying to, like, reassemble the version of the team that they had a few years ago when they won a championship. They traded Porter Jr. for Cam Johnson, so that'll give them probably more effective shooting. Porter Jr. is just going to score 35 points a night, by the way, as they tank to the number one seed in Brooklyn. Tim Hardaway Jr. also came over, and they got Bruce Brown back. Bruce Brown was there, leveraged that for a big contract with Indiana, then got traded to Toronto, and now is back on a one-year deal. I think it's a vet min. But back on a one-year deal with the Nuggets. Funny that the Nuggets make moves to help for the future, and nobody questions if that was enough for Jokic yet. Yeah, okay, I'll try not to get all about it tonight, but very, very upset about the way that things are being covered regarding Giannis and the Bucks. So, busy day for the Denver Nuggets. The Pistons make a move. Duncan Robinson, this will be as part of a sign-and-trade, but he's agreed to a three-year, $48 million deal with the Pistons. Duncan Robinson is an interesting case study. He was about as hot as anybody, if I can remember, in the bubble. He has been with the Heat since 2018, but he's fallen in and out of the starting lineup. This year, he was about a halftime starter. The year after the bubble, he started every game that he played, and he started 72 games. scored 13 points a season in 20 and 13 and 21, but hasn't. He's basically been starting when guys have been hurt, and then in the playoffs didn't get as much of a run as he would have done in the past. But I think, you know, with this Detroit team, I think that that's a good signing. It's, you know, relatively affordable. But he's going to come in there, and hopefully this maybe would not have happened if Malik Beasley wasn't up to whatever Malik Beasley is up to, because that seemed to be a very similar deal that Malik Beasley was reportedly in line for. There were some extensions today. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander agreeing to a four-year, $285 million Supermax contract with the Thunder through 2030-31. It is the richest annual salary for a player in league history. You're looking at 285 divided by 4, which we all know at the top of our head is about 71 and a quarter. So $71 million a season. We are getting ever closer to our first $1 million per game season. That's what we're getting closer to. $1 million per game, an $82 million year. It'll come. It will come. He actually could have been close to that. If he would have waited a year, he could have signed a longer contract for $380 million. Essentially, and I don't think it'll end up being this way, but as of now, we can say that he's leaving about $100 million on the table to re-sign now. He's signing now rather than later to get this contract extended and then to also maybe keep some room available for the Thunder. Still making the Supermax, and deservedly so, but that was one of the extensions today. Jakob Poeltl on an extension with the Raptors. Four-year deal. $104 million contract extension. So he's picking up his player option and then adding 3 years to his deal. He averaged career highs in minutes, nearly 30 points, 14.5, and rebounds nearly 10, shooting 63% from the field, the fifth best among qualified players. Some other moves around the league. Trey Mann agreeing to a three-year, $24 million deal with the Hornets, the guard. Dennis Schroeder agreeing to a three-year, $45 million deal with the Kings. They are also signing Drew Eubanks after the Clippers are cutting him. And they also added in that trade Dario Saric. And then Gershon Yabusele is agreeing to a two-year, $12 million contract with the New York Knicks, plus a player option to go to New York. So certainly a busy day in the NBA today. There are some teams that haven't done really anything. Let's see here. The Warriors have done nothing. The Warriors, apparently there's some interest there in Damian Lillard, but he can't play for a while. He's from Oakland. Kevon Looney left to the Pelicans, but they've really done nothing. The Indiana Pacers, losing Miles Turner, and they've really done nothing. The Lakers signed Jake LaRavia to replace Dorian Finney-Smith. Lakers are very curious to me, whatever's going on with the Lakers, because they have LeBron James and they have Luka Doncic. So you would think if you have those two guys, let's try to win. I mean, how long are you going to have this? The story from Dave McMenamin, ESPN, about the Lakers trying to find a center and this deal with the new guy and losing DFS. In it, he's quoted as, LA exercised discipline in their negotiations to preserve cap space for 2027 when they expect to save space to sign a max salary free agent. This is coming after last week, where we just found out that the guy who ran the Dodgers, Mark Warner, was now going to take a controlling interest in the Lakers. And while you can't spend as much freely in the NBA as maybe you can in baseball, we thought maybe the days of the Lakers like being so precious about their cap space was over. That does not seem to be the case. So you've got Luka and LeBron, and we're thinking of trying to pair Luka up with the star in 2027? You got to try to win with these guys now. They got to find somebody to play center. They biffed on the guy they traded for, Mark Williams, because they didn't like his physical. Then he came back, seemed to be fine. Brook Lopez could have been a guy for them. That didn't work. DeAndre Ayton may be a guy for them. I don't know what kind of productivity you're going to get, but they've been biffing on getting a center after trading Anthony Davis. But you've got Luka and LeBron. Like, there should still be. The Bucks are going to try to do it with Giannis and Miles Turner. You got Luka and LeBron. And we're thinking about 2027. Now, that is going to be a year where there are going to be a lot of guys that potentially could be free agents. But they'll all be a little older. So Luka at that time, he's 26 now, I believe. Luka is 26. That is correct. All right. So what the Lakers are trying to think of is, we want Luka with a star. That's what they're, but they have that now. I know he's 40, but you see him play. He doesn't look 40. Well, there's a couple biggies that are going to be free agents in 2027. But they're all going to be older. Well, Anthony Davis will be a free agent again. He's a player option. But he'll be 34. Steph Curry's set to be a free agent. Do you want him? You want to pair him up with Luka? He's going to be 39. And Luka's going to be 2 years older. Why are we planning for this? Two interesting ones. Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's got a player option that year. He could opt out, go to the Lakers if they have cap room. Luka and Giannis. He'll be 32. How about this one? Nikola Jokic. Player option. Same thing. He'll be 32. Is that the plan? Is the plan here to not go all in with Luka and LeBron because you think you're going to pair up Luka and Giannis? Or Luka and Jokic? Is that the plan? Seems like it's the plan. So they're going to get LeBron off the books and then not throw money around and tie it out up elsewhere so that this can be the plan. I'll tell you, there's been a lot of franchises, maybe not so much with Jokic, but have had Giannis coming to them as part of their plan. And he's still with the team that drafted him. Still there. So I don't know if that's going to work or not. Although circumstances could be different. Giannis did say he's over in Greece. He did say that he wants to team up with all of his brothers for the team that they rooted for and try to get him up to the Greece first division. So he's not going to be a Buck for life. Okay, but I don't know where else in the NBA he would play. So the Lakers, they got LeBron and Luka right now. But they are fine just going as is. Everybody else sort of doing something. The Spurs signing Luke Kornet. The Jazz haven't done much. They got Yusuf Nurkic in a trade with the Hornets. The teams that I like, again, I like what Atlanta's been doing. And with Indiana seemingly saying, we're just going to take this year off, potentially the Atlanta Hawks can be a team. But again, I think everyone's saying the same thing with Atlanta. Like everyone's saying the same thing with Atlanta is, oh, yeah, we kind of like what you've been doing, but you really have to show us. I mean, we actually have to see it before we can get into it. Starting lineup would be Trae Young, Dyson Daniels, great defender, Jalen Johnson's coming into his own, Porzingis, as long as he's, like, fine to breathe, and Onyeka Okongwu. They would also have Zachary Richache, the number one pick from a couple years ago. Luke Kennard they signed. And they got Nickeil Alexander-Walker. So, I mean, again, the East is very doable where most teams should be thinking, oh, we can get that four spot, or we can at least get a top four seed. I mean, playoffs for sure. I mean, it's pretty wide open. But I think Atlanta, they made an Eastern Conference Finals run in 2021. They've been very mediocre since. They've been playing tournament heavy since. I think I will say I like what the Bucks did just based on the fact that they're not taking any year with Giannis for granted. And even if there's going to be pain later with spreading out Dame's contract over 5 years, they brought a bunch of guys back and they added Gary Harris. They added Miles Turner. They're going to try to win. I don't know. I don't know that we can be too upset with teams trying to win. The Rockets brought in Clint Capella, brought him back. Dorian Finney-Smith is a good addition. Kevin Durant via trade and retaining a lot of their guys. I think I like what the Nuggets have done. Mentioned that earlier. Bruce Brown, Cam Johnson, Tim Hardaway Jr., Jonas Valanciunas. The Cavs getting Lonzo Ball with the trade. Larry Nance Jr. They lost Ty Jerome to the Grizzlies, but I think you look at them and they're doing all right. So a lot of teams being active, some with varying returns so far than others. Still some guys out there who could we say are the biggest names that are still out there? Let's see. Well, if I just rank him by scoring average, the biggest name left is Malik Beasley. And that's unlikely. Jonathan Kuminga, his future hasn't been decided yet. Quentin Grimes' future hasn't been decided yet. Russell Westbrook, Malcolm Brogdon. So that's where we're at. So we'll see. We probably won't have as much NBA content for you tomorrow on tomorrow's show. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Caller Fold up next. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast. We love big money on the Bart Winkler Show.
You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW.
The cards are on the table. Bring in the high rollers.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
It's time to put up or shut up with Cole or Fold.
Like I'm sitting here playing cards with my brother's kids or something.
Here's Big Bucks Bart Winkler and Cold Cash Carlos Ortiz.
Tell them to bring me my money.
Yeah! Welcome in, everybody, to Call or Fold. And if you've ever heard a radio show in your life, ever, anywhere, especially in sports, this is essentially by ourselves. But it's better because we package it in such a way that it doesn't feel like by ourselves. It's Call or Fold. So I'm going to deal out some of the stories of the day.
Shibbity boo body.
I told you to stop doing that. I will deal out these deck of cards representing stories to Bart. He can call, which is essentially buy. He can fold, which is essentially sell. And for bleeps and giggles, he could raise it, which is enthusiastically buy it. And Bart, we'll start off the first caller fold here with the Miami Dolphins. They're having a busy week. One day after they trade Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith to the Steelers for Minkah Fitzpatrick and a fifth rounder, they send a 2026 sixth round pick to the Giants for previously retired Darren Waller. Now, Darren Waller, he had a really good stretch 2 years
He had 12 touchdowns and 2019-2020 basically won fantasy leagues for everybody, including Bart. Not me. I never had him. I had him when he sucked. But with the Giants, it never really manifested. In and out of the lineup, he had 600 yards. Just didn't pan out. Yesterday, you questioned the legitimacy of the Steelers, quote, going for it. And tonight, I'm doing the same thing for the Dolphins. Miami is four losses away from Tyreek Hill demanding a trade, one hit away from Tua missing three games, and the over-under on Jalen Waddle playing four quarters in a game should be 6.5. I know I have him in my fantasy team. He never plays four quarters. Bart, call or fold. The Dolphins are building a quiet, silent tank season.
Ooh, the Dolphins. So quiet tank season means it looks like they're trying to win, but they're actually hoping that it all blows up in their face.
Yep.
And they do poorly. I don't think that's what the Steelers are doing. I think the Steelers think they're going all in, but they're not. It seems like it. You look at that and you're like, oh, they look like they're going all in. And then you get closer and you're like, oh, no, that's the same. That's the same. I will fold on the Dolphins.
Fold.
I think they're... I mean, what... So defensively, they could be better.
Yeah,
right?
I've been saying that for years, though. I mean, remember, they had Vic Fangio a couple years ago as their DC. And, like, Xavier Howard. Like, they've had playmakers at defense. Kyle Van Noy was there for a while. Just, I don't really feel like they have an identity. That defense really underwhelmed.
What was their ranking defensively last year? Look at that. Total defense. They were fourth in the league.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like they were a flesh-eating defense.
Passing defense, ninth. Rushing defense, ninth. All right, so if you take their defense, Devon Achane's a good back. You know, we'll see what we get out of Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. They got Nick Westbrook-Akini. That's a pretty solid three if they're right. Darren Waller, as you mentioned. I think the issue for people with the Dolphins is Tua. The issue is how good is Tua going to be? So I'm folding. Did I fold already? I'm folding.
You did.
On the silent tank. But I also, you get into a team like this, like the AFC is top heavy and as tough as it's going to be. Is it better to try to be 10-7 and make a run in the playoffs? Is it better to try to reboot? But they just paid Tua. Sometimes you just get into the situation where you do the right things in practice. Your guys just aren't as good as the other teams. So I don't think they're tanking, but I don't think they're going to be that good.
Yeah, how funny would it be where the last wild card spot is being completely fought out by the two teams that just made the trade in the Steelers and the Dolphins? Because that's in a world that we possibly live in. That's the ceiling for me for the Dolphins. I don't think they're all that good. They should finish fourth in that division, but the Patriots are there, so who knows?
Well, people are high on them.
Yeah, I think rightfully so. I think Drake May does take a step forward, and they actually have, you know, brand-name receivers. I mean, Stephon Diggs is really going to help Drake May. Who the hell was Drake throwing to last year? So the Patriots were an absolute mess, and their defense is going to be very good. And Mike Vrabel is an upgrade. I think Jerod Mayo might have gotten a short end of the stick, to be truth be told. But there was also times that he had no idea what he was doing. So I think the Patriots will be better. I just wouldn't say wild card. But, you know, six wins, quality. The eye test, you'll pass that. Let's go to the AFC West, more specifically the Raiders. There might not be more anticipation for a running back entering the league since Saquon Barkley when he came out of Penn State. But the excitement is growing for Ashton Jeancey coming out of Boise State. He's the top 10 first-round pick selected by the Raiders. Jeancey should be a heavy favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year, with Pete Carroll being his head coach. And Pete Carroll's game plan of running the ball a lot. Now, Ashton Jeancey, he's definitely built like a three-down back. So I know the fantasy community is about to go nuts with him. But with Saquon being a catalyst for the Eagles' Super Bowl last year, many people think that the running back value is back to where it was at its peak. I've even read that Ashton Jeancey has a shot at 2,000 yards. Call or fold, the hype for Ashton Jeancey is way too high.
Fold.
Fold.
You watched this guy in Boise State? He was great. Well, the competition. Miss me with that, I say. No, I think that he could be in line for a big year. He's going to be drafted first round in fantasy leagues. I'm sorry I keep bringing up fantasy tonight.
It's a very important part of it.
Yeah, I agree. If I may, so I'm folding that. I think that the hype is deserved. Saquon is a guy that I have in a couple of fantasy dynasty leagues, and I'm trying to trade him. And I had a pretty good offer, but I want more. But then again, then there's other leagues that I'm in that other people have Saquon. Everyone's trying to move Saquon.
Yeah, I think that's a smart thing to do. Saquon's not... He's clearly not going to get another shot at 2,000 yards. I think they're going to manage his workload a little bit. Plus, he's another year older, wear and tear, all that stuff. You would be smart to move on Saquon Barkley. I think a lot of people would. This is the year you go get Christian McCaffrey, by the way.
I go for who?
Christian McCaffrey.
Ooh, I just made an interesting trade.
Care to share with the class?
Yeah, I got to remember what it is. I'm in so many of these stupid leagues. This is so annoying.
Want to come back to this?
No, here it is. I traded Trevor Lawrence a first, second, and fourth round pick for McCaffrey and Burrow.
Oof. I love jettisoning Trevor Lawrence. I think he stinks. He's really Daniel Jones with hair. But I think you gave up a little bit too much draft capital.
But I still have a first, second, and third. So I had extra. I had picks to burn.
All right, well, I like it a little better. I think Joe Burrow is going to win an MVP this year. He's that damn good. They just got to figure out what the hell they're going to do on defense.
And I need points because this is a stupid league where they do who you play against. So, like, normal. But then if you beat the average score of the week, you get a win or loss.
What?
That sucks.
What fakakta league are you playing in?
I don't know. Sucks.
Yeah, get out of that lead. All right, let's move on here. With Anthony Richardson essentially sidelined with an injury, stop me if you've heard that before. It looks like the Colts quarterback room is the following. Daniel Jones. Riley Leonard. And who the hell is Jason Bean? I'm not even being facetious. I don't know who Jason Bean is, and I watch more football than... anybody.
Jason Bean went to Kansas.
Cool. All right, so it's really just Daniel Jones. Now, coming off a couple of disappointing seasons in a very winnable division and under new ownership with the passing of Jim Irsay, I would say that general manager Chris Ballard is totally on the hot seat. If he's relying on Daniel Jones to win games, he's going to be fired before the season is over. But Bart, I think I have an answer for Colts fans. Call or fold, Kirk Cousins would be the best option for Indianapolis.
Fold.
Fold.
So I'm going to say two things that I believe to be true, but they may contradict each other. So I think the situation that Daniel Jones is in is set up for him to have a really good bounce back season. Like, not even good for Daniel Jones, but like a good season. Will he? I don't know, but the situation's there. I also don't believe that Kirk Cousins is necessarily an upgrade over Daniel Jones. So, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. What's the deal with him then? Because other than like...
What's the deal? I'll tell you what the deal is.
Uh-huh.
The deal is Atlanta gave him way too much money. Kirk Cousins has the job that he should have. Backup quarterback in the NFL. But he's got this stupid contract, so we're trying to pretend like he can be a starter somewhere.
Sure.
No, it's over. The Cousins train is over.
I don't think so. I think he goes to Indianapolis, he wins that job. And the same with New Orleans. But New Orleans just has, like, they're in cap hell. They can't make that work.
Well, are we saying Richardson's done? What are we doing?
Richardson is done. He has all the athleticism in the world. He looks like an incredible quarterback prospect, except he was never really a great quarterback. Dude, I saw that coming a mile away. He got out of Florida with a 58% completion percentage. He's not a quarterback. You want him to be because he's fast and he's got a cannon and, you know, he looks like Adonis, but he's not a quarterback. There's no way he's going to be a quarterback, at least for the Colts again. That's not happening. All right, let's go to our next one here. The Kansas City Chiefs, they've owned the AFC West since 2016. Literally everybody else has been paying rent, and they've barely been challenged during most of those years because even though the Chiefs were a dynasty, it should be noticed that all the other teams in the West have sucked, and I mean really bad. Whether it's the Broncos failing with Russell Wilson experiments, or Brandon Staley being an absolute moron for the Chargers, or the Raiders. They're the Raiders. The Chiefs have had a lot to bounce their way during their dynasty, but now the division has seemingly closed the gap with quality, experienced head coaches. Pete Carroll for the Raiders. You have Jim Harbaugh, rather, for the Chargers. And Sean Payton, obviously, for the Broncos. They finally seem to have a quarterback that they like in Bo Nix. So they have competent rosters now in that division, good head coaches. And I'm going to die on this hill. Kansas City's not that good anymore, and their luck has run out. So I ask you, call or fold, the Chiefs will miss the playoffs.
So I said publicly that I like that boldness of you and want to agree with you.
Which is why I'm putting you on record now.
But as you know, my thing is to always say, Bart, think of it this way. You got $1 million on the line that you get if you're right. What's your answer? I'm going to fold. I think they will make the play.
Fold.
There's not enough good teams to take over.
It's one easy swap for me. Bengals didn't make it last year. They get in. Everybody else stays the same.
Bengals, I don't think the Steelers get in.
Fair. But I think the Chargers win the division, so that takes out the Steelers.
Okay.
The math is mathin', if you really want to look at it that way. All right, last one here, because we're just a few days away from America's birthday. Country, I salute you. Regardless of which, you know, side of the aisle that you stand on. We'll save that for hour five. I will be behind the grill and the griddle on Friday. I'm having a beach day. Nobody cares what my plans are, but I'm telling you anyway. Now, I'm not going to tell you what should be on your menu, but call or fold, hot dogs are the most overrated barbecue item on the 4th of July.
What? No, fold.
Fold.
You can do so many things with a hot dog. It's the go-to for kids. You can spruce it up however you want. You can even do what I like to do. I like to put nacho cheese on my hot dog.
Basic.
And some jalapenos. Basic.
Basic.
Well, why is it? What's the angle you're coming at here?
There are just so many things that you can have over hot dogs. Almost every food that you can think of that you can throw on a grill clears hot dogs. Hot dogs are quick. They're, you know, convenient, I guess, but they're extremely lazy. I agree with you. You can dress up a dog and have it very delicious, which I'm going to do. I'm not just going to grill a bunch of hot dogs and throw ketchup on and call it a day. I'm going to build these babies up. I'm making Chicago-style dogs for everybody at the beach. That's in my party, not for everybody on the beach. But I think everything clears a hot dog.
I would say like a kebab. A little overrated.
Really? My sister-in-law's boyfriend's actually going to make kebabs.
It's just like too little of too many things.
Huh. So you'd rather have a hot dog than a kebab? What? I give you real quick, because I know we got to go to the update here. I give you a kebab. On that kebab, you have meat of your choice. Let's just say beef. Beef, a little roasted pepper, pineapple, just to switch things up, grilled over. And then I give you a hot dog with nothing on it but ketchup, maybe mustard. What are you choosing?
I'd rather have a hot dog on a stick.
I have no response to that. That's caller
fold. I'll take the kebab. I'll take the kebab.
Yeah, that damn straight you will, and that's caller fold.
Time to cash out.
He beat me. Straight up. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
And we will now get to an update, and it is presented to you by Marco Belletti.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Bart Winkler Show, and that is the phone number, 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. If you've been going to basketball games at any point in your life, you may have come across a halftime show performed by Red Panda, the woman that juggles bowls and plates on her feet and shoulders and head. She fell tonight from her 7-foot-tall unicycle and appeared to injure her wrist in the fall. Red Panda was performing at the Lynx Fever halftime show, one of the most beloved halftime shows that the NBA and WNBA circuit has seen. So prayers up to Red Panda. We hope she is okay. And can't wait to see her back on that bike soon. Barry is in Boston. Yeah, stick around. Just stick around.
First of all, I want to say a prayer for Panda, and I hope she's okay, because yeah, she's way more entertaining than me and you. She can do things. If I jumped on one of those things, I would be dead in about 2 seconds.
Unrelated, Barry, I got you an early birthday present. I'm sending you a 7-foot-tall unicycle.
Oh, God. Please don't. Please. My birthday's not till March, by the way. Thank you very little. So I know you're talking NBA and NFL and all that good stuff, and it's kind of a hard time of year because the Red Sox got rained out tonight because the weather here is terrible. But anyway, the NHL draft was also the NHL free agent was the first night. Was tonight, and I watched that on the TV, and it was very entertaining. But I know most of the country doesn't care about the NHL. So what do you want to talk about, brother?
What do I want to talk about? That's not how this works.
Okay, well, this is your show, so you tell me, do you want to talk NBA?
I don't want this to be a trend. No.
I don't think the Celtics are going to win anything next year because Tatum is out and they're going in the dumper. That's my opinion. The Bruins are terrible. The Red Sox are terrible. The Patriots are terrible. So that's my neck of the woods. I like Green Bay. Green Bay is much better than the Packers and much, much better than New England Patriots. So I don't know. The NBA basketball, your wonderful Milwaukee Bucks are way better than the Celtics, I think, in my opinion, next year.
Yeah, I don't know what the Celtics are. They got to get to the point here where they're either going to trade Jaylen Brown and Derek White or they're not. These additions they've made are...
Well, they have a new owner. He's a gazillionaire. He has more money than you and I could spend in 20 lifetimes.
Well, money's just a social construct, and it's not real, but go ahead.
It's not real. I couldn't agree with you more. Money doesn't matter. So, anyway, Jason Tatum took that terrible fall, and to move forward, I look forward.
God.
Kind of like Panda. I pray for Tatum. I want him to get back sooner rather than later.
All right, let's wrap this up.
I hope that girl gets better, and I hope to see you on Friday at the Feeney 5. I won't see you this year, but maybe next year.
All right. Barry, look, he did this last year, too. He promoted this thing that his dad's putting on.
Yeah, listen, we got away with it yesterday. We had a little bit of fun with it. We're not going to be pubbing it every single day.
Well, I did it last year. Last year, I allowed it. Last year, I used it as a PSA. You know, it contributed to every radio station. If you ever turn on a radio station and you're like, what the hell am I listening to? And it's like, coming up this Friday at the Quilting Festival, we've got, and then they talk to some lady who's like, this is our 7th year, and so we're very proud, and so tickets are $5 if you get there, but they're $3 in advance, and so you gotta do like an hour of public service a week.
Yep, we do it on Sunday mornings. Well, we as in WFAN in New York.
Yeah.
I think our public service hour is anytime we let Barry on.
Yeah. That's why, folks.
I feel like I need to hit this drop, by the way, if you're still here.
Thanks for sticking around.
Because I understand. Sometimes it's just hard for me to get through, and I work here. I mean, brutal. I love these callers, but good Lord, brutal. When we eventually get bumped up to daytime, there's going to be a thicker velvet rope in front of this club.
Oh, yeah.
Half of you guys are not coming to daytime with us.
No.
You can listen, but you're not getting on. I'm going to keep it a buck with you right now. Half of you callers aren't making a cut.
Hey, you used to let me on at night. Yeah, Will. I used to have a six-pack. That's not true.
Yeah, well, I was kind of under 190.
I was kind of chiseled when I swam.
I don't believe that.
I'll send you pictures of
Please
me in
don't.
Speedo. It's Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.